Today on Commuter Bible, the kings from David's lineage begin to stray from serving the Lord. It's 2 Chronicles chapters 21 through 24 and Psalm 106. This is Commuter Bible, the audio Bible podcast to match your weekly schedule. I'm your host, John Ross. In our last episode, we covered the life of King Jehoshaphat, who was faithful to the Lord. But in today's episode, we witness the beginning of the end for the kings of Judah. Jehoshaphat's son, King Jehoram, is straight up Jehorrible. And when he dies from a horrific intestinal disease, scripture records that he, quote, died to no one's regret. How would you like that on your tombstone? His son Jehoahaz, whom we should note is mainly called Ahaziah, takes the throne after him for only 1 year before he is killed. And after his death, his mother Athaliah goes on a killing spree. 2 Chronicles, chapters 21 through 24. Jehoshaphat rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. His son Jehoram became king in his place. He had brothers, sons of Jehoshaphat: Azariah, Jehiel, Zechariah, Azariah, Michael, and Shephatiah. All these were the sons of King Jehoshaphat of Judah. Their father had given them many gifts of silver, gold, and valuable things, along with fortified cities in Judah. But he gave the kingdom to Jehoram, because he was the firstborn. When Jehoram had established himself over his father's kingdom, he strengthened his position by killing with the sword all his brothers, as well as some of the princes of Israel. Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, as the house of Ahab had done, for Ahab's daughter was his wife. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight, but for the sake of the covenant the Lord had made with David, he was unwilling to destroy the house of David, since the Lord had promised to give a lamp to David and to his sons forever. During Jehoram's reign, Edom rebelled against Judah's control and appointed their own king. So Jehoram crossed into Edom with his commanders and all his chariots. Then at night, he set out to attack the Edomites who had surrounded him and the chariot commanders. And now Edom is still in rebellion against Judah's control today. Libna also rebelled at that time against his control because he had abandoned the Lord, the God of his ancestors. Jehoram also built high places in the hills of Judah, and he caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to prostitute themselves, and he led Judah astray. Then a letter came to Jehoram from the prophet Elijah, saying, "This is what the Lord, the God of your ancestor David, says. Because you have not walked in the ways of your father Jehoshaphat, or in the ways of King Asa of Judah, but have walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, have caused Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to prostitute themselves like the house of Ahab prostituted itself, and also have killed your brothers, your father's family, who were better than you. The Lord is now about to strike your people, your sons, your wives, and all your possessions with a horrible affliction. You yourself will be struck with many illnesses, including a disease of the intestines, until your intestines come out day after day because of the disease." The Lord roused the spirit of the Philistines and the Arabs, who lived near the Cushites, to attack Jehoram. So they went to war against Judah and invaded it. They carried off all the possessions found in the king's palace, and also his sons and wives. Not a son was left to him, except Jehoahaz, his youngest son, after all these things. The Lord afflicted him in his intestines with an incurable disease. This continued day after day until 2 full years passed. Then his intestines came out because of his disease, and he died from severe illnesses. But his people did not hold a fire in his honor, like the fire in honor of his fathers. Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king. He reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. He died to no one's regret and was buried in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. Then the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, his youngest son, king in his place, because the troops that had come with the Arabs to the camp had killed all the older sons. So Ahaziah, son of Jehoram, became king of Judah. Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah, granddaughter of Omri. He walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother gave him evil advice. So he did what was evil in the Lord's sight, like the house of Ahab, for they were his advisors after the death of his father, to his destruction. He also followed their advice and went with Joram, son of Israel's king Ahab, to fight against King Hazael of Aram in Ramoth-Gilead. The Arameans wounded Joram, so he returned to Jezreel to recover from the wounds they inflicted on him in Ramoth-Gilead, when he fought against King Hazael of Aram. Then Judah's king Ahaziah, son of Jehoram, went down to Jezreel to visit Joram, son of Ahab, since Joram was ill. Ahaziah's downfall came from God when he went to Joram. When Ahaziah arrived, he went out with Joram to meet Jehu, son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to destroy the house of Ahab. So when Jehu executed judgment on the house of Ahab, he found the rulers of Judah and the sons of Ahaziah's brothers who were serving Ahaziah, and he killed them. Then Jehu looked for Ahaziah, and Jehu's soldiers captured him. He was hiding in Samaria. So they brought Ahaziah to Jehu, and they killed him. The soldiers buried him, for they said, "He is the grandson of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all his heart." So no one from the house of Ahaziah had the strength to rule the kingdom. When Athaliah, Ahaziah's mother, saw that her son was dead, she proceeded to annihilate all the royal heirs of the house of Judah. Jehoshabeath, the king's daughter, rescued Joash, son of Ahaziah, from the king's sons who were being killed, and put him and the one who nursed him in a bedroom. Now Jehoshabeath was the daughter of King Jehoram, and the wife of the priest Jehoiada. Since she was Ahaziah's sister, she hid Joash from Athaliah so that she did not kill him. While Athaliah reigned over the land, he was hiding with them in God's temple 6 years. Then, in the 7th year, Jehoiada summoned his courage and took the commanders of hundreds into a covenant with him. Azariah, son of Jeroham, Ishmael, son of Jehohanan, Azariah, son of Obed, Maaseiah, son of Adiah, and Elishaphat, son of Zichri. They made a circuit throughout Judah. They gathered the Levites from all the cities of Judah and the family heads of Israel, and they came to Jerusalem. Then the whole assembly made a covenant with the king in God's temple. Jehoiada said to them, "Here is the king's son. He will reign just as the Lord promised concerning David's sons. This is what you are to do. A third of you, priests and Levites who are coming on duty on the Sabbath, are to be gatekeepers. A third are to be at the king's palace, and a third are to be at the foundation gate. And all the troops will be in the courtyards of the Lord's temple. No one is to enter the Lord's temple but the priests and those Levites who serve. They may enter because they are holy, but all the people are to obey the requirement of the Lord. Completely surround the king with weapons in hand. Anyone who enters the temple is to be put to death. Be with the king in all his daily tasks." So the commanders of hundreds did everything the priest Jehoiada commanded. They each brought their men, those coming on duty on the Sabbath and those going off duty on the Sabbath. For the priest Jehoiada did not release the divisions. The priest Jehoiada gave to the commanders of hundreds King David's spears, shields, and quivers that were in God's temple. Then he stationed all the troops with their weapons in hand, surrounding the king. From the right side of the temple to the left side, by the altar, and by the temple. They brought out the king's son, put the crown on him, gave him the testimony, and made him king. Jehoiada and his sons anointed him and cried, "Long live the king!" When Athaliah heard the noise from the troops, the guards, and those praising the king, she went to the troops in the Lord's temple. As she looked, there was the king, standing by his pillar at the entrance. The commanders and the trumpeters were by the king, and all the people of the land were rejoicing and blowing trumpets, while the singers with musical instruments were leading the praise. Athaliah tore her clothes and screamed, "Treason! Treason!" Then the priest Jehoiada sent out the commanders of hundreds, those in charge of the army, saying, "Take her out between the ranks and put anyone who follows her to death by the sword." For the priest had said, "Don't put her to death in the Lord's temple." So they arrested her, and she went by the entrance of the horse gate to the king's palace, where they put her to death. Then Jehoiada made a covenant between himself, the king, and the people, that they would be the Lord's people. So all the people went to the temple of Baal and tore it down. They smashed its altars and images and killed Matan, the priest of Baal, at the altars. Then Jehoiada put the oversight of the Lord's temple into the hands of the Levitical priests, whom David had appointed over the Lord's temple, to offer burnt offerings to the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and song ordained by David. He stationed gatekeepers at the gates of the Lord's temple, so that nothing unclean could enter for any reason. Then he took with him the commanders of hundreds, the nobles, the governors of the people, and all the people of the land, and brought the king down from the Lord's temple. They entered the king's palace through the upper gate and seated the king on the throne of the kingdom. All the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet, for they had put Athaliah to death by the sword. We'll be right back. Joash, was 7 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah. She was from Beersheba. Throughout the time of the priest Jehoiada, Joash did what was right in the Lord's sight. Jehoiada acquired 2 wives for him, and he was the father of sons and daughters. Afterward, Joash took it to heart to renovate the Lord's temple. So he gathered the priests and Levites and said, "Go out to the cities of Judah and collect silver from all Israel to repair the temple of your God as needed year by year, and do it quickly." However, the Levites did not hurry. So the king called Jehoiada the high priest and said, "Why haven't you required the Levites to bring from Judah and Jerusalem the tax imposed by the Lord's servant Moses and the assembly of Israel for the tent of the testimony? For the sons of that wicked Athaliah broke into the Lord's temple and even used the sacred things of the Lord's temple for the Baals." At the king's command, a chest was made and placed outside the gate of the Lord's temple. Then a proclamation was issued in Judah and Jerusalem that the tax God's servant Moses imposed on Israel in the wilderness be brought to the Lord. All the leaders and all the people rejoiced, brought the tax, and put it in the chest until it was full. Whenever the chest was brought by the Levites to the king's overseers, and when they saw that there was a large amount of silver, the king's secretary and the high priest's deputy came and emptied the chest, picked it up, and returned it to its place. They did this daily and gathered the silver in abundance. Then the king and Jehoiada gave it to those in charge of the labor on the Lord's temple, who were hiring stonecutters and carpenters to renovate the Lord's temple, also blacksmiths and coppersmiths to repair the Lord's temple. The workmen did their work, and through them the repairs progressed. They restored God's temple to its specifications and reinforced it. When they finished, they presented the rest of the silver to the king and Jehoiada, who made articles for the Lord's temple with it, articles for ministry and for making burnt offerings and ladles and articles of gold and silver. They regularly offered burnt offerings in the Lord's temple throughout Jehoiada's life. Jehoiada died when he was old and full of days. He was 130 years old at his death. He was buried in the city of David with the kings, because he had done what was good in Israel with respect to God and his temple. However, after Jehoiada died, the rulers of Judah came and paid homage to the king. Then the king listened to them, and they abandoned the temple of the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and served the Asherah poles and the idols. So there was wrath against Judah and Jerusalem for this guilt of theirs. Nevertheless, he sent them prophets to bring them back to the Lord. They admonished them, but the people would not listen. The Spirit of God enveloped Zechariah, son of Jehoiada the priest. He stood above the people and said to them, "This is what God says. Why are you transgressing the Lord's commands so that you do not prosper? Because you have abandoned the Lord, he has abandoned you." But they conspired against him and stoned him at the king's command in the courtyard of the Lord's temple. King Joash didn't remember the kindness that Zechariah's father Jehoiada had extended to him, but killed his son. While he was dying, he said, "May the Lord see and demand an account. At the turn of the year, an Aramean army attacked Joash. They entered Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the leaders of the people among them and sent all the plunder to the king of Damascus. Although the Aramean army came with only a few men, the Lord handed over a vast army to them because the people of Judah had abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors. So they executed judgment on Joash. When the Arameans saw that Joash had many wounds, they left him. His servants conspired against him and killed him on his bed because he had shed the blood of the sons of the priest Jehoiada. So he died, and they buried him in the city of David. But they did not bury him in the tombs of the kings. Those who conspired against him were Zabad, son of the Ammonite woman Shimeath, and Jehozabad, son of the Moabite woman Shimrith. The accounts concerning his sons, the many divine pronouncements about him, and the restoration of God's temple are recorded in the writing of the Book of the Kings. His son Amaziah became king in his place. Psalm 106. Hallelujah! Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever. Who can declare the Lord's mighty acts or proclaim all the praise due Him? How happy are those who uphold justice, who practice righteousness at all times. Remember me, Lord, when you show favor to your people. Come to me with your salvation, so that I may enjoy the prosperity of your chosen ones. Rejoice in the joy of your nation, and boast about your heritage. Both we and our fathers have sinned. We have done wrong and acted wickedly. Our fathers in Egypt did not grasp the significance of your wondrous works, or remember your many acts of faithful love. Instead, they rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Yet he saved them for his name's sake, to make his power known. He rebuked the Red Sea, and it dried up. He led them through the depths as through a desert. He saved them from the power of the adversary. He redeemed them from the power of the enemy. Water covered their foes. Not one of them remained. Then they believed his promises and sang his praise. They soon forgot his works and would not wait for his counsel. They were seized with craving in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. He gave them what they asked for, but sent a wasting disease among them. In the camp, they were envious of Moses and of Aaron, the Lord's Holy One. The earth opened up and swallowed Dathan. It covered the assembly of Abiram. Fire blazed throughout their assembly. Flames consumed the wicked. At Horeb, they made a calf and worshipped the cast metal image. They exchanged their glory for the image of a grass-eating ox. They forgot God, their Savior, who did great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, awe-inspiring acts at the Red Sea. So he said he would have destroyed them if Moses, his chosen one, had not stood before him in the breach to turn his wrath away from destroying them. They despised the pleasant land and did not believe his promise. They grumbled in their tents and did not listen to the Lord. So he raised his hand against them with an oath that he would make them fall in the desert and would disperse their descendants among the nations, scattering them throughout the lands. They aligned themselves with Baal of Peor and ate sacrifices offered to lifeless gods. They angered the Lord with their deeds, and a plague broke out against them. But Phinehas stood up and intervened, and the plague was stopped. It was credited to him as righteousness throughout all generations to come. They angered the Lord at the waters of Meribah, and Moses suffered because of them, for they embittered his spirit, and he spoke rashly with his lips. They did not destroy the peoples as the Lord had commanded them, but mingled with the nations and adopted their ways. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They sacrificed their sons and daughters to demons. They shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. So the land became polluted with blood. They defiled themselves by their actions and prostituted themselves by their deeds. Therefore the Lord's anger burned against his people, and he abhorred his own inheritance. He handed them over to the nations. Those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies oppressed them, and they were subdued under their power. He rescued them many times, but they continued to rebel deliberately and were beaten down by their iniquity. When he heard their cry, he took note of their distress, remembered his covenant with them, and relented according to the abundance of his faithful love. He caused them to be pitied before all their captors. Save us, Lord God, and gather us from the nations, so that we may give thanks to your holy name and rejoice in your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say, Amen. Hallelujah. That psalm concludes what's known as Book 4 of the Psalms. We'll continue onward into Book 5 of the Psalms in our next episode. Book 5 contains the longest chapter in Scripture, which is Psalm 119, and the shortest chapter, which is Psalm 117. We'll stay in the Psalms for our secondary reading until the end of September, at which point we'll transition to the prophet Isaiah for our secondary reading. Well, today's episode was narrated and orchestrated by me, John Ross, and co-produced by Eric Williamson. Thanks for listening, and remember, happy is the one whose delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night.